A un primero de mayo.
Hello and welcome to the Bigger Pop Podcast. I am your host, Sam Dusenberry Jr. Follow me on Twitter at TheStanD, that's T-H-E-E-S-C-M-D. Use the hashtag Pick and Pop on Twitter to search and support the podcast. Send me your comments, your thoughts on Twitter using the hashtag Pick and Pop. That's hashtag Pick and Pop. No and, just Pick and Pop. Hashtag it. SoundCloud.com/ShowFreeSports is where you can find the show posted up on SoundCloud. Google Play, Stitcher Radio, as well as Apple iTunes. Search Pick and Pop. Subscribe and rate. Tell a friend. Spread the word. Pick and Pop Podcast. Again, Pick and Pop Podcast. No and. Pick the letter N. Pop Podcast. So what's going on? So I don't know when you guys are going to hear this. It was supposed to go up on Friday, but I've been having some internet difficulties. I am not in my usual spot on the East Coast, out in Jersey. I am in L.A. I'm in L.A. for the weekend, seeing friends, so I've been kind of out the mix, not in my usual surroundings, so I've had to, like, you know, do this podcast surrounded by cats, surrounded by planes going on overhead, surrounded by dogs being walked and barking in the background, so the ambiance should be very, very PETA-friendly if you listen closely to the Pick and Pop Podcast, so... But I'm still giving it to you. So hopefully it should be up by no worse. I mean, we're doing this Saturday, so hopefully it's up Saturday. Worst case scenario, it's up Sunday. But, you know, the podcast will, on a regular basis, be up every Friday. You know, like I said last pod, if there's any unforeseen circumstance, then I'll let you know in advance. But I did not expect this. So, you know, you're getting it to Saturday, if not worst case scenario, Sunday. So going forward, every Friday, Pick Up a Podcast, you know. So, yeah, we got a lot going on. So, you know, for me, the big storyline is still, you know, your man Eric Bledsoe. So, Eric Bledsoe, out there in the land of the sun, out there in the desert, playing for Phoenix, he's out here in his feelings. He's in his feelings. You know, Earl Watson got up out the paint. They got rid of him. You know, the Suns got out there 0-3. I think all three games were, like, blown out by 30 or 40 points, just back-to-back 40-point blowouts, and it was looking bleak. You know, you could take L's. Take L's, but you can't take getting destroyed. You know, the Suns were not expected to be the Nets. You know, they weren't expected to be the 76ers, you know, back when they had MC Dub and Norrence Noel as their two, you know, franchise pieces. They're still a lottery team, but not the dreg of the NBA, like the Chicago Bulls. They're not that. But to come out and lose back-to-back games by 40... By 40, I can't blame them for getting Earl Watson up out the paint. Now, I thought Earl Watson had, I think the term good job or did a good job is not to be used here, but I thought he was trying to instill a culture there, install a philosophy. He's very tough-minded, go for the throat. You know, he's trying to instill something into the youngins that they get out there. And I thought maybe... if the tide turned, he might be in the mix to hang on to that job and see them actually be good. But you lose back-to-back games by 40, you're not long for the league. So they got him up out the paint. And I mean, he got up out the paint. You know, you got Eric Bledsoe, who's one of the elder statesmen on the team now, which is strange in itself, but he's one of the elder statesmen on the team. And he basically tweeted out, "I don't want to be here." So, you know, Twitter does what Twitter does. Everybody takes that, runs with that, and says, oh, Earl Watson's out. Now Eric Bledsoe's tweeting this. He must want out. He must no longer want to be a Phoenix Sun. So, you know, the Suns going to Sun. You know, McDonough, the GM over there, who's been known to be salty. Always salty, always petty, and very emotional and very reactionary, did what he does. It went out there and, you know, summoned Eric Bledsoe for a meeting. You know, Bledsoe did not play the next game. He got summoned in for a team meeting. Oh, for at least our meeting with the GM. I'm assuming the owner may have been in the mix or not, but definitely with McDonough. And McDonough came out and basically said, look, he came in here, he told us his story, we don't believe his story. And what was his story? Eric Bledsoe told his boss, his immediate boss, that he was at the hair salon. Yeah. Eric Bledsoe told his boss that tweet that says, I don't want to be here, did not really mean here as in Phoenix, the land of the rising sun. It meant I did not want to be in the hair salon. Because I was in the hair salon when I sent that tweet out. He didn't enable the location, but he's telling his boss to his face with a straight face. He was at a hair salon. And again, I don't know what your guy's history is or your pension or your hair texture or any of that sort of the like, but in my lifetime, there's only one reason why I've ever been in the hair salon. And it's because of a woman. And for me, it's only been because of one woman. I've only been to the hair salon for one woman at this point in my life. That's my mom. So I don't know who Eric Bledsoe was in the hair salon with. But for me to be in the hair salon, had to be somebody important in my life, like my mom. And please believe, even then, when it was my mom, I didn't want to be there. If I had Twitter when I was 8 years old, being dragged to the hair salon every other Saturday, I would have been tweeting the same thing. I don't want to be here. Matter of fact, it got so bad that my mom had to bribe me to go with her. So every other Saturday that I would be dragged with her to the hair salon, my reward after she was done with the hair salon would be going to watch Andrew Jackson play football. And for those people who are from Queens, I'm from Jamaica, Queens, Hollis, Queens, Andrew Jackson football team back in the late 80s, early 90s, was a pretty relevant team. Was like the big local high school team. So that was my reward for me being forced to go with my mom to the hair salon, was going to go see Jackson play, or at least if it was an off week for them, at least practice. They would practice or have games every Saturday. So that was my reward. Sitting up in the stands watching, you know, high school football, because my mom knew how heavy I was into football at that time and how heavy I was just into sports. So I had to be bribed at 8 years old to go to the hair salon. So I can only imagine a multimillionaire many times over in Eric Bledsoe, the circumstances he had to be under to be at a hair salon and be tweeting out that he didn't want to be there. So I, for one, believe Eric Bledsoe. I believe that he really did not want to be at the hair salon and tweeted out that he did not want to be at the hair salon while he was at the hair salon. No, I don't think he wants to be in Phoenix either. So maybe it was a double entendre. Can we give Eric Bledsoe props for a double entendre tweet? You know, Hove, when a Drake track light it up, gave us a triple entendre. How about we give Eric Bledsoe props for a double entendre? We got to make that happen. I, for one, am giving Eric Bledsoe props. First ever double entendre tweet. But if you're the Suns now, Now let's fast forward to current times. Obviously, the Suns don't want Eric Bledsoe no more. It's done. He's done. He's not going to play for the Suns anymore. It's a wrap for that, right? So now they got to flip him. They got to trade him. What are you going to get back for him now? Especially when I mentioned you got the GM McDonough running out here throwing bombs about Eric Bledsoe. He's out here questioning him and his work ethic. He's out here questioning his agent, which is Rich Paul, LeBron's mans. The whole World Wild West, the whole entity, he's out here questioning their motives. So he's out here tanking the value of this asset that he needs to desperately get rid of. Not exactly business savvy. So you have a product you want to get rid of. Why would you go to the public and trash said product if you want to move said product? Bad business acumen from the Suns GM. This has happened before. Some of y'all probably don't remember. Remember Goran Dragic was a Sun with Eric Bledsoe. They had three point guards that all went to play. I think Isaiah Thomas was the fourth. Well, what was the third point guard there? I'm not sure. That might have been that Phoenix year where he was there. If not, it was another high profile point guard that was there, and it was three point guards. It made no sense, but they still ran out there on the court and tried to make it happen. So Goran Dragic wanted out. Because he was trying to get them M's. You can't get them M's if you're fighting for playing time with two other point guards. So he went publicly with his. Didn't want to be there. He didn't tweet it. But he said it to the press directly. So the press did what they do, took it and run with it, blow it up. And management, which is the same management that's in place now in 2017, got salty, got pissy, and trashed the value of Goran Dragic. So much so they basically gave him the Miami. And now Dragic has made an all-star game since then, and again, he got his M's from South Beach. So now what are the Suns going to do now that they have Eric Bledsoe, who they don't want, who doesn't want to be there, but you've trashed his value publicly? Is he going to Cleveland? Is this a behind-the-scenes shrewd move by LeBron to make this happen? D-Rose already hurt. D-Wade coming off the bench. Is this the king moving those chess pieces like only he can to land a young playmaker? A guy whose game and skill set, although not on the same level, very similar to Kyrie's. The king going in. I'm telling you, he is so focused on not taking a blowout L in the finals again. He is making all the chess moves. All of them. Every single last one of them. All y'all is pawns. There's only one king. As you see the ambient noise that I mentioned, planes of all kinds, Cessnas, jets, everything going overhead here. Still Cali though, still palm trees and 80 plus degree weather every day I've been out here, so it has its advantages and its drawbacks. But if you're the king, if you're the Suns, what are you going to get legitimately? You know, we've heard Denver's in the mix. Denver's in the mix to get Bledsoe. Denver has a young core. Denver could possibly be a point guard away. I guess it's a wrap for Moutier. So, you know, it's this Bledsoe thing is a thing that I think we need to watch here going forward, because it's very interesting. You know, in other sports where the player wants to be out, especially like the NFL, you don't have a lot of power. You know, like, look at Adrian Peterson. You know, Hall of Fame running back, somewhat, even though maybe for a short period of time, still somewhat on the back end of his prime, begging to get out of New Orleans. Begging. And it took David Johnson, you know, being done for three quarters of the year, and his backups, including CJ2K, not really being able to step up. It took a, you know, extraordinary situation for him to be moved. Even though it was clear it wasn't a good fit. Martavis Bryant wants out of Pittsburgh, no matter what he tweets. Wants out of Pittsburgh, doesn't want to play for the Steelers. Public with it. He has no power, no leverage. But in the NBA, it's different. Eric Bledsoe wants out. I could tweet my feelings and let you know I don't want to be here, and y'all still going to move me. Countless stars have talked their way out of bad situations in the NBA. It's where they have the most power. Still not absolute power. But it's the biggest sport and the best sport for the athlete to have power. The NBA. So Eric Bledsoe, where is he going to end up? We don't know. But we know one thing. It's a wrap for him in the land of the sun. He really was at that hair salon. And I'm pretty sure there was an important female behind that reason why he was at that hair salon. Something I just wanted to touch on, you know, in transitioning and going into my next topic, I remembered. They still got Tyson Chandler. And Phoenix has done a horrible job of not only tanking, but a horrible job of not placating to the veterans that they bribed to come in with bloated contracts. So they've had numerous top picks. You know, they got Alex Len. You know, they got D-Book. D-Book is the absolute stud. But they've done a miss. You know, I mentioned how they had the three-point guards years back when they had Dragic. They have done a horrible job of consistently being in and around the lottery and not being able to capitalize and hitting a home run. The only home run they've hit, you can argue, is that they got D-Book. That's it. So we got the GM out here who's trying to run off Bledsoe and tarnishing his image on the way out. And again, tarnishing the return he's going to get for flipping Bledsoe in the end. And then, you know, the land of the sun, the Phoenix Suns fans are supposed to trust this guy who's done nothing with all these lottery picks and all this cap space he's been given to put in a relevant product on the floor. So if I'm D-Book, not only am I watching Bledsoe and helping him get out, but I may be packing my own bags. If you're D-Book, a guy who could put up 70 in a game, why the hell would you want to waste your young years? Now, he's not even in his prime. Your young formative years in the league in Phoenix. Why? For what? For who? What purpose? There's no reason for him to be out there in Phoenix. It's time to break it all down. If I'm those players in Phoenix, all 15 of them should want out. Even the dude on the end of the bench, the 15th, everybody should want out. I want nothing to do with Phoenix if I'm an NBA player. Absolutely nothing. The GM and the owner are sensitive. They're petty. They'll talk trash about you in the press. And from their business acumen, they don't know what they're doing in the long run. Why? Besides those guaranteed M's in the contract. And I know those are a big reason. But why would you want to go to the Valley of the Sun? Okay. Philly. You got to get into it. There's the good, the bad, and the ugly with Philly. So what do y'all want first? The good, the bad, or the ugly? I know most people want that good. I save the good for last. There's a lot of bad and a lot of ugly. So we'll save the good stuff for last. So let's get to the bad. The bad is, man, y'all tanked for 5 years. 5 years. And all you got is two studs out of it. Two studs. You had MC Dub, Nerlens Noel, Embiid, Saric in the mix there too, Simmons, and Fultz. And the only two you got out of that is Simmons and Embiid. That's all you got. Nothing else. It's amazing. All that taking, all that losing. Sam Hickey deserves everything. Everything for the fact that at least he got 2 out of 6. No, he wasn't here for Fultz. I won't count. He don't count for Fultz, and pretty much wasn't there for Simmons. But Simmons was such a layup. I mean, who else were you going to take? So, 2 out of 5. 2. Now, again, you're looking at teams like the Dubs that are running 4 quality players out there. And everybody else is trying to catch up. That is just, you can't win with just 2 anymore. You can't. When you got to beat the Dubs 4, which you can almost say is, I mean, you could say it's almost 1 elite player, but I'll give you Steph. And we'll get to Steph in that slimy mouthpiece a little later. But I'll give you, I'll do you a favor and give you Steph. So there's 2 elite players. Klay's a very good player. And Draymond's a very good player. So you have 4 very good and up players. You can't beat that with 2 very good players. And Embiid and Simmons. They're already 2 very good players. Now, they may transition to elite. But right now, they're just very good. And then Embiid, you may want to drop a little bit more just because he has to stay healthy. So he might just be good. If he can give you 65, 70 plus games, then I'll put him back there officially for good at the very good level. And then we'll figure out when he gets to elite. But right now, that's not enough. And the pieces you've built around him aren't good enough. I like Covington. I've said that plenty of time on this podcast, whether when I was working for FanDuel or just doing here independently. Love Covington. I think he's a bigger piece than the fans want to, and the fans are probably even more so, more importantly, he's a bigger piece than even management wants to admit. Consistent throughout this whole trust the process nonsense. Covington. You like went out there and threw all the memes at J.J. Redick. How that looking so far? And I know you had to sign somebody. You want to act like you're trying to, you know, build something here. But let's really look at that. And again, this is all on the bad. We didn't even get the ugly yet. This is all on the bad. Colangelo. Now we know who his pops is. We know the connections his pops has. So the NBA basically said, look, we're tired of y'all tanking and making a fool out of our lottery system and trying to capitalize on the lottery system. So I'm going to get Hinky about it because Hinky was content on just keep on losing until he had enough studs, which is how I believe it should be done. And he should not have been, you know, exercised out of the building. If anything, they should build a statue for him. You don't have Embiid without Sam Hinky. Most teams would have been content taking MC Dub and taking Norris Noel and trying to build around that. Hinky was like, nah, those two ain't enough. I need more. I need more potential times to get studs. Went out there and got Saric. He got stashed away a few years. Didn't want to come over. And now he's finally here. He's a rotational player. But you got Embiid, though. You think you got Simmons, though. But they went and got Colangelo to kind of make it a regular organization again. To kind of make it more about the business of getting wins. Now it's time to win. Is it? And what are you winning right now? As long as LeBron is breathing, you ain't winning the East. You might win 30, 40 games. Is that really the winning you need? Are the Sixers already at the point where now it's time to build? I don't think so. There's still gaping holes on this roster. You know, JJ took the 1 year bag, but he ain't coming back. So then who's your shooter after that? It ain't Fultz. It ain't Fultz. I'll tell you that right now. And again, we'll get to the ugly. But we'll talk about Fultz a little bit in this section. It ain't Fultz if you think he's going to be the shooter going forward. It ain't going to be him. So who's it going to be? You win 30, 40 games, you're not in the lottery. You win 30, 40 games, hell, in the East, you might be the 4th seed. So now you're not even going to get a good draft pick. So now what do you do? Yeah, I understand this, that there's some swaps going on and stuff like that, but who are you building around? You're building around two dudes who are aliens at their positions. Now that you have your two aliens, now you fill in with the traditional pieces. You see what the Cavs are trying to figure out with LeBron is, we need to have it where we have LeBron, a big man who can rebound, and then three shooters. So now, Philly's job is, we have an alien at point guard. You have an alien at center who can shoot threes. Now we need to fill in the pieces around him. You need a tough guy who can go down low and bang, grab boards. You need a shooter, and then you need two shooters. Covington's great. I already said I loved him. I wouldn't count him as that shooter. He's not one of the two shooters you need on the floor. So you have a gaping hole for two shooters. Because again, if you're banking on Fultz, he's not going to be one of the two either. The shooters that they need, I don't think are currently present on the roster. Even J.J. Redick, if they can trick him into taking another bag or whatever the case may be, I don't think he's that kind of type of shooter you need. So that's the bad. And the good, the bad, the ugly. The ugly is Fultz. I mean, it's pretty safe to say, I'm hearing things, he may be shut down. So it's gotten to the point where his agent was out here talking to Woj. Agent was trying to explain for Fultz, who's been, you know, he's gone viral for all the wrong reasons. He's out here hitting the backboard on free throws. And like all backboard, not trying to bank in free throws, just hitting the right or left side of the backboard on free throws. He hasn't taken a shot outside of 13, 14 feet, I believe, because he doesn't have the strength in his shoulder. And the agent came out here and said, you know, his shoulder was drained. Now, mind you, I've been doing this podcast, I think, for a minute, with sports podcasts for a minute, almost 10, well, I think it's been more than 10, yeah, almost about 10 years. And I've been watching sports damn near all my life. I've never heard of a shoulder being drained. Never. Absolutely never. So, The agent got taken to task for that. Like, what do you mean he got his shoulder drained? How do you drain the shoulder? Where's the fluid in the shoulder? So then, the next day, less than 24 hours later, he had to change up. Went back to Woj and wanted to amend his comments. Now it was not drained fluid out the shoulder. They were putting stuff in the shoulder. Cortisone shot. How do you not know the difference between a cortisone shot and having fluid drained? Now, I'm not saying an agent needs to have a PhD, but can he at least go to WebMD? Cortisone shot, drain fluid, huge difference. Yes, involve needles. That's the only similarity. As another jet flies over. Not that far from Santa Monica Airport, if you can follow me. If you, I don't know if you're out here in L.A. Yeah, I'm in Santa Monica, so we're very close to the Santa Monica Airport. So that's where you're going to get the planes in the background. But yeah, so fluid taken out, as in drained, fluid going in, cortisone. Big difference. I worked in the hospital for almost 10 years. Very clear difference. You don't want to go in and have your knee drained and instead get cortisone shot up in there. You would be suing for malpractice. Very clear difference. So again, the ugly is, I think he's going to get shut down. I'm hearing some things. He's going to get shut down. That should be coming out in the next, you know, I mean, it could happen this weekend. Maybe even Monday. They might wait till Monday. But Fulton going to be playing for a while. You go ahead and get him out the mix. So, and again, even before that, when he was healthy, I didn't see anything. If you go back to the shows when I was doing the draft preview and stuff like that, Fulton is not high on my list. Had nothing to do with the fact that he only got 9 wins out there. Washington, I didn't care about any of that stuff because, Romar is his coach, and Romar is a whole other story. But when it comes to just how does his ability, the things that he's good at, translate at the next level, I just didn't see it being worthy of being lofted and drafted that high. I just didn't see it. I didn't see it for the fit. They needed a straight, pure shooter. And that's what Philly still needs. Yes, you went and got J.J. Redick that bag. But he ain't going to come back unless you give him another ridiculous bag, which is not going to be good for your team in the long run. So, you need shooters. And Fultz is not that shooter to me going forward. So, that's the ugly. The bad is the fact that 2 out of 6 years, you hit right with your first-round picks. And now the ugly is your last first-round pick can't shoot the way you need him to be in, especially in this day's NBA. And his agent's out here confusing and misdiagnosing his own client. And you have a guy that, you know, in Fultz where he tried to tough it out for the team and shoot through it. If I'm hurt on my shooting hand, I can't shoot. Why is he playing basketball? If there's any team that is fit for first round picks not being able to play and being shut down, it's the Sixers. So why would they trot this kid out here with a bum shoulder who can't shoot? Not that he's that great of a shooter when the shoulder's 100%, but damn sure not if he's had a cortisone shot up in there, or drained, or whatever they actually whatever diagnosis is on the damn shoulder. But you get the point. Fultz wasn't that great of a shooter before. Now you're putting this jank up in his shoulder. Now, who knows how it's going to be once all this subsides in a couple weeks? Probably gonna take him a few weeks, at least. I would shut him down for a month, get him out of there for a month, let him figure it out. So now finally to the good, right? Finally to the good. So we had the bad, we had the ugly, now we got the good. The good is you got Simmons and Embiid. This is a real quick good. You got Simmons and Embiid, you got two aliens. You have two aliens, those two aliens will get you 35, 40 wins in the East. And you're probably going to make the playoffs as long as they're both healthy. That's the good. You know, I spoke about this on the last pod. As long as those two dudes are healthy, I mean, that's all you can ask for. And in the East, they can make some waves and win a lot more games than they would if they were in the West or even if the East was more competitive. So you have two studs. You have two aliens. Take advantage of it. Dominate. For 35 wins. But that's the good. You have to take that. No more MC Dub. winning fraudulent Rookie of the Year trophies. No more Nerlens Noel, who was always healthy, always on the court, but never really gave you that much. And all that stuff. You have an alien who can transcend the game at two different positions. You have a point guard who's 6'10", probably even over 7 feet at this point, because they claimed he grew two inches last year. So you have a 7-foot point guard and a 7'2 center who can shoot threes. Transcend the game. Change the game. Now go out there and put two shooters around him and a dirty guy who can bang down low and grab boards. And now you have something. Now you're talking about owning the East for a while. Now you're talking about maybe you can stop this Giannis train that seems to be coming and is nonstop and is off the rails and nobody can stop it. Maybe it's this Philly thing. If they surround with two shooters and a dirty big around the two aliens, that can stop this Giannis train from taking over the East. And speaking of the East, you got the Cavs, man. I don't know what's going on with the Cavs. Any of y'all have an answer what's wrong with the Cavs? Man, they can't play D, man. They can't play D. Ty Lue can't figure these lineups out. He's trying everything. You know, D-Wade, quote-unquote, benches himself. You know, D-Rose had a little hiccup with, what was it, the ankle or the knee. So he missed a game or two. And, you know, IT4 is still not playing it. He's not close. I mean, they're talking December now. I'm still thinking January, February. I'm playing it safe. There's no reason. You're not, any of y'all really think if the Cavs are the 2 or 3 seed, they're not still winning the East? If this Giannis train keeps rolling and they somehow get the 1 seed, you know, y'all really think LeBron can't beat Giannis 4 times out of 7 without home court? So the Cavs, I mean, how low of a seed could the Cavs be where you would start to lose faith in them winning the series? If the Cavs were a 6th seed, would you think they couldn't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals? Would you have them as an underdog against a 3? Would you have LeBron as a 6th seed, an underdog against a 3 seed? I wouldn't. I definitely wouldn't. So, let IT take his time coming back. Come back after the All-Star break. Fine. You're still going to get your M's. I don't know from who. Definitely not from Cleveland, especially when LeBron skate. But it's going to come to the point where there's no reason to even force IT to come back. And if they get Bledsoe, forget about it. I mean, if the Cavs could somehow sneak and get Bledsoe, it's a wrap. IT could really take his time. He may try to rush his time coming back because he's going to see Bledsoe out here put up numbers that he should be. But the Cavs can't figure it out defensively. They're giving up a lot of points, 100-plus points. They're taking L's to the Nets. They're just not looking good. You know, LeBron's out here playing point. He's trying to do everything himself. This is almost like, you know, LeBron before Miami. This is looking like, you know, Ilgauskas and Donyell Marshall running with Bron. Booby Gibson, Damon Jones. This is looking like that bunch of Cavs right now. So, you know, they tried to line up. They, you know, had Rose and they put JR back in the mix. So JR's back starting. Then they try to put Tristan back up there. They took Crowder out, put Crowder on the bench. Does Crowder have a game suited for the bench? I know he did when he was in Dallas, but he was a young player then. Boss Man thinking he a baller now. Boss Man 99 on Twitter, he thinking he a baller now. He not really trying to take no back seat. He may do it to appease some things early on, but you don't call yourself Boss Man and ride the bench. So, you know, as I spoke about earlier, LeBron at his best is at his best when he's surrounded by shooters. If you throw these lineups out here, how many shooters is LeBron? You know, he's surrounded by maybe 2 shooters at best. Even if you throw JR back in the starting lineup, but you still got D-Rose, who's not a shooter. And then you got Tristan, who's definitely not a shooter, but he's a dirty big. And they got K-Love. So it's that point guard position that's lacking a shooter. But there's no shooter like that on this team. Even if Isaiah comes back, I don't really constitute him as a shooter. He's a guy that can create his own shot and get hot and become a shooter. But he's not a straight gunner. So what do you do if you're Ty Lue? Do you put Korver out there? Or do you start Korver? And he's not horribly defensively. You know, as many as you would think, he's not that bad defensively. But still, I don't know if I want to extend Kyle Korver like that. I mean, we haven't even gotten to November yet. And you're talking about starting Kyle Korver. That's what it's got to be for the Cavs. You know, I talked about, you know, in the preview, where we're talking about the Cavs throwing bodies at the Dubs. I mean, right now they're throwing hurt bodies because, you know, D-Wade still trying to figure it out. D-Rose is hit or miss. IT ain't even here yet. And it's just not looking good so far. It's looking ugly. And Bronze is out here taking these L's, playing these minutes and taking L's. That's going to come back to hurt them in April, May, June. But again, if they're a third seed, if they're a sixth seed, I'm still riding with them in the East. I still don't see another team beating LeBron 4 out of 7. And that's, I think, the thing that, yeah, we'll get hyped during the season as the Cavs struggle, as the Cavs don't look good, as they look lethargic, as they get beat by teams like the Nets. But when it comes right down to it, who in their right mind is thinking somebody in the East is beating LeBron 4 out of 7? So fraudulent two-time MVP and spoiled rich child Steph Curry got ejected the other night. I know y'all saw that. I know y'all peeped that because KD got ejected right along with him. Continuing KD's known thing of riding the wave. KD rides that wave, whether it's from one of his 20 ghost accounts on Twitter or you know, liking his own pics on IG. Whatever the case may be, KD out here riding waves. Steph get thrown out, we getting thrown out. You know, it's kind of like that back in the day thing, you know, with the plantation and the owner. You know, the owner, the master sick slave would say, "What's wrong, boss? We sick? We sick." That's kind of like how KD out here riding. "What's wrong, Steph? We getting ejected? We getting ejected." And again, you know, getting back to the rich spoiled kid, you know, he's out here complaining for calls. And again, they were in the middle of taking the L to Memphis. And again, we sleep on Memphis every year. And, you know, they lost the grandfather and Tony Allen. And, Memphis showed props to him by retiring that jersey, as they should. Nobody embodies the grit. And the reason it's called the Grindhouse more than Tony Allen. Tony Allen and Z-Bo, you know, are linchpins of that organization. I expect him to do the same for Z-Bo when he comes back. But so they were taking that L to Memphis. And Steph drove to the cup. Mike Conley was putting that body on him a little bit. Went to the rack. Went for a lefty layup, I believe. Contact for sure. No call. Steph pulls out that slimy, dripping with saliva mouthpiece and flings it right at the official. Direct hit. And he gets properly thrown out, as he should have. Now, here's the kicker. Now, you would have thought if a player is that frustrated with not getting foul calls, you would see the foul discrepancy, right? You would see, you know, Phil Jackson and Pat Riley were the masters of this back in the day. You know, Jordan would only get 6 free throws, and then Phil, after the game, would throw so many subliminals about how the officiating was bad towards his player. The next game, you can guarantee, you could pencil in Jordan was getting 15 free throws. Guarantee it, because it was on the official's mind. It was automatic. He had put the public pressure on them to call fouls for Jordan. Riley, same way. So you got Steph out here complaining about fouls, saying he's not getting the calls. Want to guess how many free throws he had that game? You want to guess? 13. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not 13 of them things. So again, you got to get spoiled. Fraudulent two-time MVP, one-time unanimous. Out here crying for fouls, crying for free throws. But he's already had 13 of them. The spoiled rich kid, the cracks in the armor are starting to show. The cracks in the armor are starting. You saw him the other night where he's dribbling off the clock, chucks up a shot, gets fouled, and then tries to finish off, you know, the play. I mean, it's a dead ball. Play's over. tries to go to the cup and slam it in for the hometown fans, try to get Oracle hype up, and muffed himself at the rim. Muffed himself. And that told me one thing. Besides the fact that he's out here mimicking Clay in China. One thing, I'm sorry, PBS logo. He's mimicking Clay Thompson, aka PBS logo out there in China, who got muffed at the rim as well. But at least he looked like he was drunk. Clay out here in the game, mouthpiece in. Foul called. So he should have been happy. Try to please the hometown fans. Just show him the ups. Show him the verts. Show him the bounce. Muffed himself at the rim. But that tells me one thing. Them weak ankles back, dog. Them weak ankles are back, dog. They are one twisted ankle away from being a 3 seed. Maybe even a 4. Keep playing. He keeps out here trying to play games and all this stuff. They are one twisted ankle away from being the old Dubs. The Monte Ellis, Baron Davis Dubs. The Chris Porter Dubs. The Uncle Cliffy Dubs. One, the Chris Gatlin Dubs. One, the Ronnie Cicely Dubs. One twisted ankle away. One twisted ankle away from going back to those days. Be careful. Tell your mans, the petulant superstar. Tell your mans to be careful, because Fall the Time shows you signs that the time is coming. And him not being able to get a one-hand tomahawk down? The wink ankle's a back, dog. Okay, we're going to wrap it up here. It's time for lava takes. We got the lava takes. These are takes that are not just hot. They are not hot takes. These are hotter than that. These are molten lava, hot lava takes. Take them as you will. We're off the cuff here with these lava takes. So Boogie went back. Boogie went back to Sactown. He went back to Sacramento. 40+23-6. 40+23-6. And here's the deal. You analytics dudes out there, I checked the box score just to kind of see, to get a deeper dive into the analytics. Plus minus for Boogie, +1. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I don't understand how these analytics are supposed to be useful. Boogie goes out of his job 40+23-6 in leading the Pels to a victory over the Kings without Anthony Davis, without the unibrow. And he had key buckets late in that fourth quarter to stretch the game on to put out of reach. But the Pels only a +1 when he was on the floor. How does that happen? I don't understand it. Analytics. Sometimes it's useful, and you'll see here as I have another hot lava take that does use some analytics in it, but certain analytics I just don't understand. The plus minus, I think that's a useful stat, but we could give me Boogie 40+23-6 and tell me the Pels are only 1 point better with him putting that up. I don't understand it. Because Boogie's not that bad defensively, that the Pels only 1 point better with him on the floor putting up 40+23-6. Hot lava take. Your man's Thibodeau. I tried to tell you about Thibodeau. Man, I'm Thibodeau struggling, bruh. I mean, look, they got past the OK3 with that Hail Mary Andrew Wiggins 3 at the buzzer from seemingly half court. But look, man, these dudes are playing trash defense. And again, this is Tibbs' calling card. I've tried to tell y'all, this dude ain't what y'all made him out to be. I mean, they got Carl Anthony Towns. And again, here's more analytics. The defensive rating for Carl Anthony Towns. They are 121.9 when he's on the court. So the defense is giving up on average 121.9 prorated when Cat's on the court. When he's off the court, 100. So a dude that we're another alien that we're ready to prop up to be one of the better players in the league. You're telling me the T-Wolves, they got two great wing defenders in Wiggins and Jimmy Buckets. But when Carl Anthony Towns is off the floor, They're 21-22. We round up on the show. 21.9. We round up 22. 22 points better. They gave up 22 less points on the floor, prorated on average, when Karl Anthony Towns is not on the floor. Somebody explain that to me. Is Karl Anthony Towns overrated? Is he that trash on D? How many of y'all are really out here watching Wolves games? I can't really sit here and say I'm out here eyeing up these Wolves games like that. When I am watching, I'm not watching focused solely on Karl Anthony Towns. It's the collective. But I will be paying attention now. I want to see if he's trash on D. Because he's another dude that we have in this alien conversation. The Anthony Davises, the Karl Anthony Towns, the Joel Embiid, the Ben Simmons. These are all aliens. If this alien can't play D, maybe he's not an alien. You have to be an alien. You got to play both sides of the ball. So we may have to demote Karl Anthony Towns from alien status. Stay tuned. Lava take. And speaking of the unibrow, can we get him out of New Orleans? What do we need to do? Kickstarter, GoFundMe, what do we need to do? Bitcoin, what is it going to take to get the unibrow out of New Orleans? I'm tired of seeing him waste away. He needs to get out the West. He needs to go to a team that has plenty of cap space, decent young talent, and can be handed the keys and saying, this is all yours. Now, I know the Pelicans have kind of done that, but then they brought in Alvin Gentry. So now Davis kind of has to fall back. Bring him to a team that has a lame duck coach, tons of cap space, and young talent that could feed off of his abilities. I got one team that comes to mind. No, Nick fans, not the Knicks, not, no. No, Nets fans, no, not, definitely not. BK's not gonna play 41 games at Barclays. That's just not gonna happen. But I do see the UC. I see the UC. The UC in his hometown of Chi-Town, Illinois. Bring Anthony Davis home. Bring him to the Chi. Let him rebuild the UC. Markkanen, AD, Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine. That could run the East for a while. When LeBron dips and it's just Giannis and seven other teams in the playoffs every year, or maybe Giannis, just the Sixers, and then everybody else, Bulls could be in that mix. They can move up to be Giannis, Sixers, Bulls, everybody else. They could be that with AD. Make it happen. Oh, I keep forgetting it's Garpax. They got to get rid of Garpax first. It's good. It's kind of good to dream. Last hot lava take. Dennis Smith Jr. will eventually catch Draymond and yam it on him. I know he got caught out there. Draymond let him know he got caught out there, said this ain't summer league, and I get it, it's a tough moment. Welcome to the league, rook type moment. But I will tell you this, Dennis Smith Jr. has a heart and the grit of somebody who does not back down. You think if he doesn't have another chance to yam it and turn it over on Draymond, he ain't taking it? I guarantee you at some point in his career, I don't care if Draymond's 40 years old, Dennis Smith will catch Draymond and yam it on him, and he will remember that first time and all the trash that Draymond was talking when he was on top. He may not catch him now. He may not catch him next year. But before it's all said and done, Dennis Smith Jr., DSJ, will catch the habitual nut hitter Draymond Green and yam it on him. He will turn it over. Guaranteed. Hot lava take. And that will do it for the Pick a Pop podcast. I am Sam Dusenberry Jr. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD. That's TheeSamD. Use the hashtag Pick and Pop on Twitter to search Pick and Pop. That's hashtag Pick and Pop. No, and the letter N. Pick and Pop. Hashtag it on Twitter. SoundCloud.com/ShowFreeSports where you can find the show posted up on SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Apple, iTunes. Search Pick and Pop Podcast. Shout out to May 1st, here's production underneath on the intro and the outro. Support him, SoundCloud.com, May 1st Music. / May 1st Music. SoundCloud.com/ May 1st Music. Well, you know what it is. It's probably Saturday, but worst case scenario, you'll be hearing this Sunday. Be back in the hometown, Jers, on, as another jet passes over. That was a bigger jet. That's probably a 7-4. 7-5? Yeah, 7-5. That's a big plane for Santa Monica. Anywho, I'll be back on the East Coast next week, so you get a new pod fresh and early on Friday. All right? Holla.